Welcome to the Ocean Hills Podcast. Our hope is that today's message would help you connect more deeply with God and with others. If you would like more information on what is happening in the Ocean Hills community, check out our website at oceanhills.org or download the Ocean Hills app. If you are encouraged by our ministry and would like to partner with us financially, you can give through your mobile device by texting Ocean Hills to 77977. We hope you enjoy this message.
Hey, so happy Father's Day for all the dads. What a gift to be a dad. 50 years ago, my parents named me Jonathan David Schaefer. Most of you know me as Jono, but Jonathan David was my given name, and it was a name that as over the years, I've thought about a lot, because Jonathan and David were best friends. I can't be best friends with myself, but they were best friends, and it was a famous friendship in the Bible, as you read about Jonathan and David, this amazing model of friendship. And friendship has always been something to me that has been central to my life, that has been important to me, that has been something I've strived to work on, to grow in, to learn about. And so I'm excited to speak today a little bit about what friendship looks like and how do we cultivate it, and what does Jesus want for us in friendship. And so we're going to be talking about that. And there's a few famous friendships other than Jonathan and David that you may know about that have captivated some of our world. Ben and Matt, maybe you know them. They were a famous movie making friendship. Or we have from Santa Barbara, Oprah and Gail. You know them as friends. Maybe this next one you didn't know, these two were friends, but Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg, actually really good friends, like the oddest friendship ever, maybe. And then Fred and Ginger, a little before my time. Anybody know Fred and Ginger? Anybody? A few people. Oh, Joe, you know Fred and Ginger? Wow. Before my time. But then maybe you know these two as well. That's John and Jono. And that is, 21 years in the making. That was a picture from a long time ago. We also have some fictional, there's some fictional friendships that have captured our imagination. We have Woody and Buzz. You know them, Woody and Buzz Lightyear. Yeah, and we also, what's the next one on there? Bill and Ted and Their Excellent Adventures. Anybody remember them? And then, of course, Goose and Mav, Speak to Me Goose, classic friendship that we like. And this is one of my favorites, is Sam and Frodo. And, we've been in a series on Peter, and I have just been thinking about Samwise Gamgee, because I think when Tolkien wrote Lord of the Rings, Sam is so much like Peter. You ever think about that? Like loud, emotional, just faithful, loyal to the end, but also imperfect and impulsive at times. And so we have this Peter character that has captivated us. And what we see from, as we're in this series, we're wrapping up the series on Peter and Jesus, and what we learn from Peter, what a fascinating character in Scripture, what a fascinating person of history that we've been able to study. And we see today in some of the passages we're going to look at that friendship was such an essential part of Peter's life, friendship with Jesus. And friendship in the Bible, as we look at the whole of Scripture, friendship, it's threaded throughout all of Scripture. And from the very beginning, we see God says this in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our image." Let us make man. It's interesting verbiage there that is used in the Bible, and it reminds us that we were created out of a relationship. We were created out of a divine relationship, that God was Father, Son, Spirit from the beginning, a loving relationship that created you and created me for relationship. And there's an amazing teacher, Daryl Johnson, who said this. He said, "At the center of the universe is a relationship." Think about that. The center at the center of a universe is a relationship. And it's out of that relationship that we were created, that for that relationship we were created, and to that relationship we are being redeemed. And so this is God's design in creating us, is that we would be relational people, that we would be in relationship with God and with one another. And God said in Genesis 2:18, we see this. God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." We were created for intimacy, for closeness, not for aloneness, not for loneliness. And yet in our brokenness, in our disordered hearts, we have all experienced loneliness. We know what that feels like. Everyone in this room knows what it is to be lonely. It's a real thing. God hates loneliness. He doesn't want you to be lonely. He doesn't want me to be lonely. He created us for intimacy. And so we know in our world, we have a widespread endemic, the loneliness pandemic, we could say, in the world. And it's something that has been written about, articles and books, and people have been studying it, especially the last 5 years after COVID, the loneliness pandemic. And it turns out, as doctors and researchers have been studying loneliness, that it is not good for humans to be lonely. Did you know this? It really isn't good for your health. It's not good for the quality of your life. And according to some of these studies, it is worse for you than smoking 15 cigarettes a day. We thought smoking was bad. Loneliness is worse than smoking. Loneliness increases the risk of heart disease, of stroke, of dementia, of type 2 diabetes, of depression, anxiety, substance abuse, sleep problems, cognitive decline, and even premature death. That's a lot. And our former Surgeon General did a major study in our country on this epidemic of loneliness. In 2023, it came out. You can go online and read all about it. But here are some of the really, just the hard stats about loneliness in our country. 54% of our country says no one knows them well. 38% of people feel lonely frequently or all the time. That goes up to 61% or 51% for young mothers and 61% for young adults. Loneliness is a huge problem in our world. And the Bible has something to say about it. And Peter and Jesus remind us what friendship looks like, what it is to be in community, to be attached to a healthy community, to be devoted to friendship. Romans 12 has a great verse that is one of the commands in Scripture Paul gives us. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That we are supposed to turn our hearts and be devoted to each other, be devoted to our relationship with one another. I love that word devoted. John did a series a while back on that Acts 2 passage we're going to look at in a second, but he talked about the difference between being devoted and dabbling. Being devoted to something and just dabbling in something. You know what the difference is. And are you devoted to your friendships? Are you devoted to friendship, or do you just kind of dabble in friendship and live on the surface with people? We celebrated Pentecost last week and the Spirit coming down on the disciples and leading them and empowering them. And listen to this in Acts 2:42. The Spirit came down what happens after is Peter gives this amazing message. And then the disciples devote themselves to four things. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayer. And I just find it so interesting that the Spirit of God, what he did first, is enable the disciples to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, to this fellowship that God had created, this new family, this new way of doing life together, intimately and connected, fellowship. That word is kind of a churchy word. We don't use that much, fellowship. Maybe for you, it's like some old, smelly, poorly designed room at your old church, fellowship hall. Anyone have one of those? I think we did, fellowship hall. But fellowship, it's this beautiful word. Let me just do a quick little word study with you on fellowship, because I think it gives us a picture of what friendship really looks like. And fellowship, it's this word in the Greek, koinonia. Maybe you've heard of this word, koinonia. It means communion, sharing, participation, partnership. I would say, and I would add, sacred friendship. This word appears over and over in the scriptures of what God has called us into, koinonia, fellowship. Here's one of the passages in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, the koinonia of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Friendship with God is the foundation of our friendship with one another. That's what the cross reminds us of, right? The vertical friendship enables us to have the horizontal friendship. It's the foundation of our friendship. When we experience that friendship with Jesus and his love, it changes how we relate to other people. It changes how we do friendship when we're friends with God. We no longer seek friendship to fill a void, but to reflect the love that we've already received, that we know deep inside. I love this. Without Jesus, our connections easily become about control, comparison, or performance. And so koinonia, this idea of sharing, partnership, is different. It's a different way of doing life together. It's a life of sharing. It's what God's called us to. Sharing life. Let me just give you a couple things about koinonia. It's about sharing life. All believers in Acts 2, it says, were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Isn't that a beautiful picture of koinonia? It's about shared life, not just shared belief. It's about doing life together. Sharing in suffering, that's also what it looks like. And Paul wrote this in Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share koinonia in his sufferings. And koinonia is about walking together through hard things, through trials, through grief, through sacrifice. Those of us who were able to attend Tom Ochi's memorial on Friday was a koinonia of grief together. We got to share. And then there's a sharing of material things. For Macedonia and Achaia, we're pleased to make a contribution, a koinonia for the poor among the saints. It's not just emotional and spiritual support. It's real needs are being met in friendship. Material needs, material things are being given. And it's about generosity, the koinonia. It's also sharing in mission together. Philippians 1, I thank God because of your partnership. There's that word koinonia, your partnership in the gospel from the first day. Koina means joining with others in the work of God, in the work of the gospel. It's friendship on mission. It's friendship with a purpose, a shared vision, spiritual teammates. I know for me that's been just a huge part of my life as I've worked alongside and ministered alongside so many people and just the spiritual bond that is created as we minister to in places like Ecuador or Mexico or Florida or here in Santa Barbara. Just what happens, the koinonia that happens when we are on mission together. And so have you experienced the koinonia? Have you experienced this kind of fellowship? This is what we're called to as a church. This is what we're called to as Jesus people. The sharing of life together. This is what you were created for, to know this. And this is really, this is a spiritual practice. We don't often think of friendship, of fellowship, as a spiritual practice, but it is. It's one of the practices. It's one of the ways we open our lives to the transformation, to the joy, to the peace, to the change that God wants to do in us is by seeking and developing and cultivating friendship, fellowship. We're going to look at just three short passages about friendship and Peter and Jesus being friends together. And what we're going to learn is how Jesus cultivated friends. And I think we can learn a lot from looking at the life of Jesus as we seek to follow Jesus, to follow him, to model our lives after him, an apprentice under him. We need to look at how did he do friendship? What did that look like? And so listen to these three passages. I'm going to read them just together, three passages from the gospel. Mark 9 is the first one. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And in Luke 8, we see this. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she'll be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he didn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, the people were wailing and mourning and for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. And Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. And then here's the third passage. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled and said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." When you read the Gospels, you see this theme with Jesus over and over. He takes Peter, James, and John in different places. He takes them in different situations. So we see this over and over and over. And we see him spending lots of time with his 12 disciples. But then Peter, James, and John get a different access to Jesus' life and to Jesus' heart. And I think what Jesus models for us here is that healthy friendships, we have different levels of friendships. We have different levels of knowing people deeply and inviting people into our lives. Jesus says, "You're meant to love many, but go deep with a few." And Jesus went deeper with Peter, James, and John. And we see that. I got to study psychology in college at Northwestern. And I love when biological and social sciences reinforce what we see in the scriptures. I just think it's so powerful when we see these things line up. And there is an anthropologist named Robin Dunbar who is from the UK, and he did a study on the cognitive limit to the number of stable social relationships a human being can have. And so he did this big study. It's widely accepted all around the world, and it's just how many stable social relationships can one person have, can humans maintain? And so we have these different circles. I'm going to put the slide up here of Dunbar's number. It's a little blurry, sorry about that. But Dunbar, what he came up with was your most intimate friendships, your most intimate people in your life, you can only have about 5 of them. The people that know you, that know everything about you, that know and love you and accept you and you feel intimate and close with. There's one to five people. And then there's another circle, the 15, maybe 12 to 15 people, where you can be best friends, where you can do life together, you can travel together, you can eat together, you're doing daily life with these people. They are your close friends. And then there's another circle of 50 that is also close friendship, but not as close as the 15, but we have this circle that is a little bit bigger, and you can know them, and you can have meaningful experiences with them. And then there's another circle, 150, where you can be connected in acquaintance in a way to 150 people, and that's about it. That's about all the people that a human being can really meaningfully be connected to. Isn't that interesting, that we're limited by the number of people we can be in relationship with? And I think it's interesting that Jesus models this for us, that he's part of the crowd. Maybe the 150 is his village. It's people that are around him. And then he has a meaningful connection with, he sends out 72 disciples. So we see him, he's the Son of God. He's got a bit more of a capacity than we do. So he's got 72 people he sends out. And then he's got 12 disciples, his closest. And he's got Mary, Martha, Lazarus. Maybe he would be in that too, Lazarus. And so he's got 15 maybe of his best friends. And then we see him, Peter, James, and John in his inner circle. And this gift of Jesus showing us the model of having a relationship at all these different levels. And the spiritual practice really that I was looking through this is and thinking about and meditating on it this week was just that we need relationships in all these different levels. And we can't have everyone cannot be in my inner circle. Everyone cannot be my closest friends. Everyone cannot be even in my 50. But we can have meaningful relationships in all five circles. And I think Jesus shows us this. He models this for us. And then I think this is where I want to press in today a little bit for us. This is from John Mark Comer. He says this: our deepest formation, healing, and growth change happen in the smallest circles. Our deepest healing, formation, and growth change happen in the smallest circles. Think about that for a moment. More than half of all Americans say nobody knows them deeply. That there's no one in that 0 to 5, that 1 to 5 category of intimate relationships. Nobody that knows them deeply, that gets the unedited, non-curated version of them. Knows their struggles, their dreams, their passions, their temptations. So I want you to think about, do I have that inner circle? Do I have that Peter, James, and John? Am I living my life? Am I ordering my life like Jesus did his life? So how do we do this? How do we order? How do we cultivate these smaller groups of people? It doesn't happen just by coming here on Sunday and meeting a few people on the patio. It's deeper, and there's so much more that we're invited into as we do this. So here's just, as I was thinking about these passages with Peter, James, and John, here are three ways that we can cultivate our smaller circles, our inner circle. The first one is be an initiator. Be an initiator. Jesus took Peter, James, and John. We see that in all these three passages. Jesus took Peter, James, and John. He initiated them to come with him. Hey, we're going up on the mountain. Let's go. Hey, we're going to this person's house. You guys can come in. Hey, we're going to the garden. Let's go pray. He initiated that. He chose a few to go into the most sacred spaces. And I think deep friendship, it begins with an invitation. It begins with the invitation. The problem is most of us, we want to be invited. We want other people to invite us, right? And Jesus models it's us. We need to initiate. We need to be initiators. If we want the inner circle, if we want the deep friendships, we need to initiate that. Maybe ask God, who do you want me to pursue, to be friends with, to let into my life? God, who comes to mind as I think about my inner circle? Who do you want me to invite into that? Maybe this summer, there's just some ways you can devote some more time and energy to initiating some deeper, more intentional relationships. The second thing I see Jesus doing here is being intentional. He's intentional with Peter, James, and John in a different way. He leads them up the mountain. He takes them into the house. He brings them into the garden. Jesus chose specific people for specific moments. Not everybody saw everything. Not everybody was invited into every moment. And I got to imagine that must have been hard on the other disciples. You ever think about that? They're like, oh, there go Peter, James, and John again with Jesus. Why didn't I get invited? And I think what Jesus, though, is doing is modeling that we have limitations as human. We cannot invite everybody into every moment. There are select people that God, for seasons, chooses for you to be in intimate friendships with so that you can be healed and be formed and be challenged and grow. And he wants that for all of us. So who are you intentionally inviting into moments of your life? Who are you intentionally inviting into those mountaintop moments, into those valleys, into the garden of waiting? A close friend, just this week, we were having lunch, and he brought me into just a season of waiting that he's in, and it was such an honor and I was humbled to have him let me in on this hard waiting season that's going on. And I'm reminded that that's what we are to do with each other. Is there's a few people God has designed to let them into our life so we can pray, so we can encourage, so we can grow together. Let me ask just, are you intentionally ordering your life, organizing your life around some soul friends, some friends that can carry you, some friends that can encourage you, that can challenge you, that can hold up a mirror sometimes, give you a hug sometimes, whatever you need. They know because they're your closest. Are you organizing your life around those people? I think the third thing I see with Jesus here is he was so authentic with Peter, James, and John. I think he was with the other disciples, but even in a more so with Peter, James, and John, we see him just be so real. He says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow. Stay here and keep watch with me. What a powerful thing for his disciples to see Jesus not being like, I got this. This is a piece of cake, you guys. It's going to be easy. No, he said this. My soul is in anguish. Would you stay with me? I need someone to be present. I don't need someone to fix it. I just need someone to stay here. Inner circle friendship, it's built on vulnerability, not performance. It's where we can take off that mask that is so easy to wear. We can show our true feelings, our true colors, what we're dealing with, what we're struggling with. I know my inner circle friends have seen me at my worst, and they've seen me at my best. and they still love me. And I do believe God wants that for all of us. He wants all of us to have these soul friends that we can walk with and be devoted to. Sarah Yardley from Lectio 365, not related to the Yardley family, wrote this in one of the prayers this week on fellowship. I think it was Tuesday. And if you're not on Lectio 365, it's an app a lot of us use to pray, and it's a 10-minute guided prayer app, really amazing. Would love to have you check it out. But she had an amazing quote from this week. She said this: deep fellowship can only come as the companion of deep honesty. When I choose to walk in the light, awake to my own brokenness, the true work a friendship with God and others can begin. The family of God is not the place where I pretend I'm perfect. It's the place where I can bring all my broken, sharp, unfinished edges into the light and receive grace. Don't we want to be that kind of family here? This is what it is. This is what true friendship, what koinonia, fellowship looks like. Maybe ask yourself, am I letting anyone in? Am I letting anyone in to see the real me? Who gets the unedited version of you? If no one does, that's a dangerous place to be. We see it from the health reports. But not just that, there's the spiritual side too. It's a dangerous place to be. Who are you sharing your life with? Not just your successes, but your struggles, your brokenness. So where do I even start? You might be thinking, for some of us, this maybe comes really easy. For others, we're struggling with friendships right now. We're all in different places in the friendship journey, and I know I have not been a perfect friend over the years. I keep trying to grow and learn and get better as a friend. I think that's part of this journey as well. And so we've designed, just so you know, we've designed our discipleship journey here at Ocean Hills to get you into community, to get you in relationship with people, to get to know people and be having spiritual conversations together and open up. And I want to invite you this summer. We have a couple options to check out. Kristen over here, Kristen Majidi, is going to be, you can raise your hand, Kristen. Yeah, thanks. She's going to be doing a four-week group on practicing the way and the spiritual practice of community. And if you want to dive deeper into that, we'd love to have you jump into that. It's going to be once a week for 4 weeks. I'm going to do one in August on scripture and just 4 week kind of a turbo group to get in relationship with people. And then we have classes like Practicing the Way, but I also want to, this is you know, a great time for me to just share about emotionally healthy relationships. It's a course we offer once a year where you learn how to love, how to be friends, how to get through conflict, how to get through hard things with people. We need to learn how to do this. This is a spiritual practice, building community. So if you have no idea where to start, just look on your program. Start there. Start it with some of the events we do. Jump in. And then let me just say this. God does not want you to be lonely. Sacred friendship, it's a spiritual practice that takes intentionality and vulnerability, and it's not just going to happen. Your inner circle does not just form naturally. It's something that God has given us the freedom, and it's beautiful that we get to help shape that and form it with him. And so asking yourself, who do you want, God, who do you want me to be in tight, deep friendship with? It takes commitment. It's hard. But it's so worth it. It is what makes life so beautiful and so sweet. Let me close by just taking you back to the fellowship of the ring, the koinonia of the ring. four friends, the inner circle. And here's what Samwise says. You can trust us to stick to you through thick and thin, to the bitter end. And you can trust us to keep any secret of yours closer than you keep it to yourself. But you cannot trust us to let you face trouble alone and go off without a word. We are your friends. I think we all deep down, we know God is calling us to this kind of friendship. He's calling you to this kind of friendship. He created you for this. He wants you to have it. It's a gift. It's a treasure. So I want to invite you, just where you are, just close your eyes and just maybe ask God, where are you speaking to me in this? I'm going to have the band come up. Maybe just take a moment and examine your friendships. Are they life-giving? Are they leading you in a good direction? Are they leading you closer to Christ, to who he's created you to be? Do I have an inner circle? Do I have some friends I can be unedited with? And just maybe ask the Spirit right now, who are you calling me to go deeper with this summer? I want to experience deep friendship. Who do you want to put on my heart to initiate a text, a coffee, a conversation with this summer? God, thank you for the gift of Peter and Jesus and James and John and their beautiful friendship that have modeled for us what it looks like to be friends. Thank you for the picture of koinonia, and that as Spirit-empowered people, we can live in this shared life together, this shared fellowship. Thank you for the gift of relationships at all different levels. And I pray for each person here today that, God, you would call them deeper with a few, that they would find their few that they can travel with and be real with and take off all the masks and experience your grace and your healing and your forgiveness and all that you want to offer us. God, we thank you that friendship is one of the ways you transform us and change us into the people you want us to be. Give us a vision in our lives for our friends. We thank you. Thank you for this passage. Thank you for the life of Peter, for his faith and how it's inspired us over these many weeks. And I pray that it continues to do so this summer. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. We're going to sing together, and why don't we stand up, and we're going to have the prayer team come down front. Maybe you want to come and ask for prayer for something. Maybe it's a relational issue that's going on in your life and you need some repair, or you have a desire to have more friends or to have this inner circle. Come and ask for prayer, and let us pray for you today as we worship. Let's continue singing.